skill standpoint, how is Calvin Johnson different from Larry Fitzgerald?
Well, he's 6'5", and I think in his range is he's got a huge vertical. So his radius, his catch radius is second to none. They're similar players in that they're big bodied, go up and get the ball away from their body. They snatch it well out of the air. But Fitzgerald is one of the top in the NFL, but Calvin is the best. I think when you watch him game in and game out, what he does and what he can do at that size, speed ratio, he's the best.
Last few weeks, especially, been talking about the camaraderie on defense, both on and off the field. And it's not just the linebackers, DBs, the DBs. How much have you seen that as the season has gone on, and how important is that maybe to the success that you guys are having?
You know, chemistry is a very tough thing to build, and you never know when you're going to have it and when you don't. You put a bunch of different players together, and you are always hoping that the chemistry is a good one. And we're very fortunate right now that we've got great chemistry going on. Defensively, the guys work hard. They enjoy practicing with each other. They enjoy working out with each other. They enjoy each other's success on game day. There's no I or me in this group. It's just playing for everybody. Everybody's playing to be successful as a defense, not individually. So it's fun to be around. These guys have great chemistry right now. It's hard to get. It's very difficult to say, hey, well, you can't coach chemistry. It happens or it doesn't happen, and we're very fortunate this happened.
Got more this past game against, out of a 3- and 4-man rush than you were when you earlier in the year, as far as more pressure in the front?
The 3- and 4-man rush did do a nice job this week. We've had some of that in spurts in the past, but probably I'd say that's a true statement this week, that our 3- and 4-man pressure got a little bit more than it had.
Is that important to you? Would you like to be a guy who doesn't have to throw as many blitzes at the team if you can just get?
Absolutely. The math alone, if you just do the math, when you send more than four, you are weakening your coverage. When you drop more than you usually drop and you only rush three, well, now all of a sudden you're weakening your rush. So it's always, you're always moving the numbers around. And absolutely, I'd love a 3-man rush. To be honest with you, if a 3-man rush you get there, that's the perfect world. But the 4-man, and that's what a lot of the four down teams do. They get the four best rushers and defensive linemen they can get, and then they only rush four. So absolutely, the answer is yes. You'd rather not have to add the extra rushers. You'd rather add the coverage plus get your pressure.
Tim's teams at Oregon typically had a bunch of turnovers, mm-hmm. and the defenses that you've coached generated turnovers as well in this one, you know, this unit is also. What are the common philosophies that you two share that kind of allows for that?
I think right now you're not looking at my defense. You're looking at the Philadelphia Eagles defense. You're looking at our staff, our personnel group. We built the playbook as a group. It wasn't, I just brought my playbook down, put it down, and said, hey, this is what we're running. That's not how this defense has been built. It's been built through a collection of great position coaches, and we built it from scratch. We named things the way we wanted to name it and call it and verbalize it. And then from there, we have built to our player strengths and weaknesses as we, as a group, see what they can do well and what they can't do well. Well, as a collective defensive staff, we make decisions on what tools we're going to use that week, what defenses we're going to call, when we like to call them. So everything is a group effort here. And it's Oregon, it's my pass, it's not only Oregon's pass, but it's every defensive coach in there. And we've collectively done that, and then the personnel department's, you know, done a great job feeding us those players. And collectively, we're getting some turnovers, and I think it's a little bit combination of great rerouting in the coverage, the pass rush, pressure on a quarterback. It all, you know, kind of fits together.
In the red zone, you watch these guys, they're 6'5", 6'7", 6'5". When you don't have, obviously, 6'7", on defensive backs, how do you defend that? What's the strategy? What's the technique involved to?
There's a lot of different ways that you can help yourself there. And then at the end of the day, 6'5 is 6'5 and 6'7 is 6'7. You can't always jump up and be at the higher position than they are, but you can do little things like rip their arms out, you know, the arms down and get the ball where it's not a two-hand catch. It has to be a one-hand catch after the ball. So there's little things that you can do. Being on them, pressing from the line of scrimmage, you know, playing aggressively, not letting the timing and the rhythm happen quite like they want it to happen, more on our terms. So that's on the field or the red zone. That's anybody. You know, you got to disrupt the rhythm of the offense and the timing of the offense in order to stop the talented receivers and throwers.
Bill, do you have an idea if you're going to have Earl Wolf today?
I don't. He's day-to-day, I don't think. I'm not sure.
Bill Lake key game. To your pass rush.
What's that?
What's been the key to your pass rush production the last couple games?
I think that the guys just keep getting better and better as the week goes on. Jerry has an arrow, and Eric do a great job with working that. And the guys, they're fresh. They're rolling them in, so everybody gets the different one-on-ones. I think the stunts are being executed at a higher level right now because the guys have been with each other and doing it at full speed for a while. We've been healthy, so the same guys are lining up next to the same guys, and that helps continuity.
Good, Merrill. You always try to prevent big plays, but late in the game when you're trying to protect the lead and you don't want them to have big plays. The last two games against Washington and against Arizona, there were big plays for touchdowns. Darrell Young and then this week Fitzgerald, where two of your guys seemed to knock each other off of tackle, off the ball carrier. Is there anything you can do to prevent that, or is that just being aggressive and it happens?
I think sometimes it just happens, but those particular cases, I think we could have been better with our technique. Again, head placement on a tackle to me is real big. It changes something from an arm tackle into a tackle, from an arm tackle into a body tackle. I think that if we had hit with the right shoulder on that particular one, I think it would have been prevented. But sometimes they happen. They make plays. We make plays. But we've got to eliminate the big pass play. We just have to. And we've got to stay together, and we've got to do it for four quarters. You know, we're having a couple good quarters of keeping that offense, and all of a sudden a big one gets on us. And especially at the end of a game, when we do have the lead, we've got to make sure we're sounder in our techniques.
What do you think of Michael Kendricks there returning from injury in his first game back?
Michael was good. You know, we had the week off, which helped him get back, and then he looked like he was up to speed, and he was hitting on all cylinders. Let's go ahead.
Speaking of that play where Fitzgerald played, it was 3rd and 20. They had another touchdown on 3rd and 9. Is that still a concern for you, the 3rd and long plays? And why do you think that, if it is, why?
It's upsetting, to be honest with you. That's an advantage defense, and we should be making those plays. The 3rd and 4s, the 3rd and 3s, the 3rd and 5s are where they should begin. But the 3rd and longers are the plays that we have the advantage, and we need to hold on to it and get ourselves off the field. And I've gone back and forth from Max dropping to pressuring like I did on that particular play and trying to mix it up to where we are keeping them off balance. But right now the execution of those 3rd and longs have got to increase. Because 3rd down really is it's a turnover down. It's when we turn the ball back over to our offense and let them do our thing. So just like we emphasize the turnovers, our 3rd down and 3rd down and long has got to get better.
How about the Nate Allen interception? What call were you guys in? And can you just talk about what you saw out of Nate on it?
It was a great play by Nate. You know, he played the ball well. We also had great pressure on that play to make Palmer throw off his back foot and not allow his follow through. So a combination of the pressure that elevated the throw and then Nate being in a great place with his eyes, he got over the top of it, made the play, you know, caught it at the highest point. We had a bunch of people blocking. I got some nice, I believe we got it back to the 50-yard line, caught it around the 10. So it was just a good, solid all-around rush coverage combination on that play.
Didn't D'Amico Ryans get on that play? Doesn't he have other responsibility?
No, D'Amico was a blitzer on that. That was a pressure.
Okay, so he didn't have other responsibility.
He was a rusher, yeah.
He was the one that put the pressure.
Yes, he did. He made them throw off the back foot and elevate the throw. And it's all tied together. You know, we talk about it all the time. The rush is tied to the coverage is tied to the rush. You know, we get more sacks when the coverage is tighter. We get more interceptions, you know, when the rush is better. So we the guys are growing and better at that.
When you're rotating a lot of guys up front and even some of your linebackers, how tricky is that to kind of balance – getting everybody enough reps and but still want your best guys out there and still mixing it up? I mean, how delicate a balance is that doing it?
I think the position coaches do a great job. We have a plan going in every week of what we're going to get, more runs, more passes, what packages we're in, how we're going to roll them. But then when the game starts, the guys are on top of it, they're in and out. You know, there's also other things in there. Who may be nicked that necessarily is still going to be able to play, but you substitute him a little bit more. Coaches communicate to me all the time, hey, this is a series I'm playing this group, this is a play I'm series that group. I've got in my head what they do well, what they don't, so we call some plays off of who's in and who's not. But we've got great communication between the assistants and myself and who's in, who's not, and we all talk all week about what the strengths and weaknesses are, who may be nicked, who may not be.
Do you change it up? If a guy's just having a great game, say, let's just...
Absolutely. Sometimes if we've got a mismatch that we can exploit, then we continue to exploit it, and we try to work that. And it is a game of matchups. It really is.
Bill, you said before that you thought that the defensive backs were being given a little more leeway this season by the referees. Did you know that going into the year, A? And B, how do you coach that? How do you tell them you can get away with a little more? Or is it just them feeling it out over the course of the game?
First of all, before the season starts, you really never know. But it's very obvious right now with all the games that have been played, no matter if you're watching our games or anybody else on TV, that both the offensive players and the defensive players are allowed to have a little bit more contact. As long as you don't knock them off their route, they don't knock us off ours. It's just what they're doing. And each game we tell the DBs and the guys in coverage, learn how they're calling this particular game. How is this crew calling this game? And if they're allowing more, then do more. If they're not allowing more, then do less. And we just play from there, and knowing that every now and then we're going to get a call against us, and every now and then they're going to get a call against us.
Yeah,
and there's
no strength. Obviously, Bradley Fletcher has been very physical, and he's a type of guy who's not afraid to get contact. So, in that regard, is that kind of playing to his strength?
It does. It does to both our big corners.
I was going to ask the same thing. If that's kind of how you saw that last play.
I try not to get in the officiating or too. The officiating always levels out. Through the course of a season, it always you win some, you lose some. They do a good job out there. We'll never be the ones to complain or be overboard with what happened out there, because there's plays that we think we're fouled and they think they're fouled, and at the end of the day, it all evens out. And I think that once we get a beat on how they're calling it, we play from there.
I think you said 2 weeks ago that Barwin wears more hats than anyone else in the defense. What does he do that we can't see on the stat sheet?
You're looking at Connor makes the whole really scheme go. I move him around all multiple spots. He's inside, he's outside. He's outside on the right. He's outside on the left. He's inside. He's over a guard. We move him around as much as any. The position is called the jack of all trades, is why it was originally named. And we move him around, and we've got different techniques that we use with him. And he's great at picking it up. And if I need an edge set on one side, or a certain drop, or a certain reroute happened, or a chip, or whatever. Connor's the guy we go to, and he wears a lot of hats and doesn't get as many rushes as he would like, but he does a lot of other things for the defense. It's unselfish on his part. He'd love to be rushing every down and get more sacks, but he's doing more dropping and more other things and never says a word about it. So
is that the plan when you signed him, or is it something that's evolved over the season?
I think it's evolved. I think we always evolve. You're looking at all the skill set of the guys, the understanding, the concepts, what they feel. He's been in 3-4s before in an outside, so just as we learned about him, we've used him more to where we have the advantage.
Do you think the punters helped you develop this defense?
Oh, absolutely. The punting has been, the special teams in the field position has been outstanding. That is a huge part of why we had some success in that game against Arizona, because that drive start with Donnie putting it inside the 20 is really unbelievable. He's as big of a reason for us to have some success defensively as anybody.
On a 3rd and 8 inside the 50, are you likely to? Would your defense be different than if it's on the other side? You know what I mean?
It depends on their tendencies in those areas, but yeah, we could be anything, anywhere. Who are they in that area of the field is kind of who I judge off of.
Back to Connor for a second. Have you seen a lot of guys like that? Because most outside linebackers either can rush or can cover, not many can do.
No, you're right. Yeah, Connor's unique in that sense. He's got a pass rush skill. Said he's got size, he can set the edges, and that's really, when you're looking at these versatile outside backers, you're looking at guys like Connor who can do a little bit of all of it. Now, the pass rush should be there first, setting the edge and playing a run a second, and the coverage dropping is third, and he's got a nice rounded skill set.
Take two more guys.
As far as Connor goes again, and you were saying it kind of evolved and he threw into that jack position. Did you want to have a player like that, or did you just realize, hey, we have this guy now, we're gonna do this with this guy?
Well, we go out there and look for the best football player available that we can find that we feel suits what we're gonna do. And Connor we were very excited about getting him signed, and he's been everything that we thought he would be from a leadership standpoint, from his play on the field on Sundays to his versatility. So we couldn't be happier with Connor.
It seems like Trent has gotten stronger as the year goes on, and typically this time of year, it's kind of worn down. How much of that is him just taking his hand off the ground playing linebacker, and is that something you were conscious of going into the year?
I do think Trent has played at a high level the whole year. The sack numbers, to me, we put way too much on that. If four guys are rushing, sometimes the best rusher, the best pass rush doesn't get the sack. It gets the quarterback moved off the spot, and a guy that might have had a horrible pass rush gets the sack. So who gets the sack isn't always the indicator. So when we watch film week in and week out in practice, who is disrupting and moving the quarterback off the spot the most? And Trent's one of our leaders. He moves the quarterback off his spot. Lately, he's got the sacks, which is great for him because you like them rewarded. But we have way too much emphasis on he's playing well because he was credited with a sack or not, in my opinion.
So you chart that, you keep track of that other,
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, guys.